Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for listening to us. I feel so humble. I just can't believe that anyone would take time out of their day. Maybe you're driving and this show is just for you today. We're going to be beginning our show with the topic of the bald eagle. And you know, there's so many beautiful verses in the Bible about the eagle, but this one is God talking to Job, Job 39:27. And Job's quite put out. You know, he's suffering all these trials. He's really going through a Job experience, just like you might be going through a Job experience today. And God is saying to Job, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high?" You know, those kinds of questions. Does God ever send you a question that just stops you in your tracks and you go, "Oh, yeah, I need to just humble myself before the Lord and just pray that he will give me the strength and wisdom to endure this trial." Well, back to the topic of the bald eagle. As the national symbol of the United States, the bald eagle is known around the world. Some have thought to discredit the bird because it is a scavenger and sometimes a bully and a thief. But let's think for a moment about some of the good characteristics of the bald eagle. It mates for life, and there is nothing that can separate a pair of them except death. And a bereaved eagle may grieve for months, calling and returning to the nest where the mate should be. Eagles normally build just one home and inhabit it for as long as they live, unless a storm or some other disaster destroys it. The bald eagle is extremely attached to its home and never leaves unless the food gives out or he has to seek a mate. Bald eagles do migrate because of changing food supplies, but they return again to their old nest. Each time they return, they remodel the nest by adding more sticks and lining it with moss, grass, lichens, and feathers for the young to come. The home chores are taken up by the eagle pair with much patience and devotion. That is a very important thing. One eagle may sit on eggs without moving from the nest for as long as 3 days. The birds take turns, and of course, after 35 days, the chicks hatch. Then the real work begins. For weeks and weeks, the parents bring in fish for the young. Patiently, they teach the eagles how to pull apart the fish for themselves. Eventually, the young are coaxed out of the nest by the offerings of a reward of food, which the parents won't give them until they brave their first flight, which is very awkward. Soon, however, the young are able to soar with their parents and become masters of the sky. Pilots have seen eagles soaring as high as 10,000 feet above the ground. Their eyes can spot a fish at a distance of up to 3 miles. I think the bald eagle is a superb bird. Sure, it has its faults, but it demonstrates the love and devotion to home and family that God intends each one of us should show. Doesn't that inspire you? You know, it's so easy to be impatient with chores because you think, "Oh man, I gotta get this done. You know, I gotta get this nasty chore done so I can go on to something better." But what if the chore is the better? And I really want my students and my own children to feel that the chore is the better. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're holding up to you today a young woman who just discovered that she has cancer. Be with her, give her the peace that passes understanding. And Lord, we're praying for Jimmy, who got in this altercation over a silly parking ticket with the police, but he just doesn't have the resources to pay it, and he really feels like it was no fault of his own. So be with him in that situation. We pray for another family who just discovered that their house is going to be sold, the house that they're renting. Provide a home for them. Lord, we hold up to you our nation, that your will be done as time is beginning to run out. And we pray for this show, that your word will go out and that it will bless families and children. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So for our arts and crafts, I put a couple of things on my Pinterest site. I don't know about you, but I just love pencil drawing. So I put there some videos on how to draw a bald eagle with a pencil. And you just have your students do a little bit of it and then stop the video and then do a little bit more and then stop the video. There's so many different types of bird drawings that you can Google that way. And the kids love it. Now, for the younger kids, I also put how to make a bald eagle using your handprint. And they love drawing around their hand. And, of course, the right hand's the right wing and the left hand's the left wing. You can probably get a good idea just from looking at the picture. Anyway, go to MR Gamblin 2. And all of these crafts that we're doing right now correspond with Windows on God's World. And the bald eagle would be a great springboard for both social studies and science. So if you're doing something with that you can incorporate both, you know, as you make your curriculum for next year, think about it. Okay, well, that concludes Arts and Crafts, so have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Probably the biggest question I get asked is, what math? And I'm a Saxon fan. I still use Saxon even in my little church school, and I'm required to use a different math, but I still supplement with Saxon because it just always reviews. But it's boring. It is boring. So that being said, today let's talk about Matthew C. I love their website. You can go there even if you're not going to purchase anything, and you can take a readiness assessment. This is something that every homeschooling family can take advantage of and really see where your child is at. What level are they ready for? Now, of course, you're doing a readiness assessment for Matthew C. And I love Matthew C. also because it's very visual. For the visual learner, it's fantastic. And there'll probably come a point when you get into high school where you won't do Matthew C., but they have it through the 12th grade, so you have it there. So I'm recommending Matthew C. Go to the website and take a Matthew C. readiness assessment for math. Now, remember, curriculum is not just the books or video series, but it's the learning path that you as the teacher make for your student. Questions parents ask. Well, this is a great question. She asks, if I'm going to start homeschooling my 10-year-old, they've been in public school education through third grade, and then they had a real difficult medical year for fourth grade. So I'm going to start homeschooling them in fifth grade. Where would you start with history? Do you start with world history, or do you start with American history? Well, I start with ancient world history, creation, and just rotate, basically. 1 year is ancient world history, and the next year's American history, and then just basically rotate. But that's the beauty of homeschooling. You can start with creation, and you can really open up. It's so fascinating to think that the story of Abraham wasn't that far from the Tower of Babel, but the story of Joseph was quite a bit further down the road, and then the children becoming slaves and leaving the land of Egypt was another 400 years. And our nation's only 200 years. So there's so much history to unpack. And so much, I mean, you could have just antediluvian history 1 year, and you could have ancient history the next year after the flood. And then you could have, you know, the time of Jesus. And so it really, history should be broken into probably six topics rather than the public school and traditional church schools. 1 year world history, the next year American history, the next year world history, the next year American history. So as you work on that, I'd love to see what you come up with, to be honest with you. So let's go on to the next question. I'm new to homeschooling and I have a third, fourth, and fifth grader. I'm curious how much time I should spend to homeschooling. For kids that get their work done, should I spend 45 minutes and make them do more? Or for kids that take 3 hours, is it too much? Well, overall, I think a homeschooling family should be able to get all their academics done in about 4 hours in the day. But there needs to be lots of breaks and lots of chunking, because even the child who takes a long time to do something will do more if they have a shorter amount of time to do it. For example, the timer is a great tool where you say, okay, I want to see how much you can get done in this amount of time. And that timer focuses them. The child who takes a long time to do something, it's not like they're dumb or anything like that. It's just they're thinking about lots of other things. Their mind, if you could see inside their mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. And maybe the child who gets things done quickly, if you look inside their mind, you could see that not much is going on. They're just focusing on the task at hand. You've told them to do it and they're doing it and they're getting it done. Both are wonderful gifts from God, and we want to affirm how all brains work differently. So, you know, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. And we have to go to break right now. We're going to be listening to some inspiring testimonies from some young people from Oklahoma Academy. So I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
My grandma has Alzheimer's. Will she be in heaven? I don't know if she believes in God or not, but she used to.
Alzheimer's is a sad disease. It robs the very thing from people that makes them who they are, their memory. My Aunt Helen, before she went to sleep in Jesus, didn't even know who I was. When I'd go to visit her, I'd say, "Do you remember when we used to sit at the piano and play happy tunes? Do you remember when you visited us for Thanksgiving and we sang songs and sat in church together?" She'd just smile and shake her head slowly from side to side. People with Alzheimer's may have loved God, they just don't remember. But God does. He sees them as they were before sin took their thoughts away. He hears the prayers they used to pray. In God's mind, their voices still praise Him, still sing His love, still thank Him. Keep in mind these beautiful words from God's treasure chest. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is like a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 NIV. God's mind remembers even when ours forgets.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Missburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Providence and Juliet, and they are students from Oklahoma Academy. You're welcome to go to oklahomaacademy.org. That's their website to learn more. But I thought, we've heard from the principal and the president, and I thought maybe we could really get the true story from the students. I love students myself. I teach high school and elementary, middle school, whatever. I have students that will be coming to school in just a few weeks, but not to a boarding school. And a lot of parents hesitate to send their kids to a boarding school. So at some point, I'd like to address how your parents came to the decision to allow you. But I'm going to let first Providence, if you would just give us a little bio. When did you come to Oklahoma Academy, and just a little bit about yourself, maybe how many siblings you have in your family. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, for me, I came to Oklahoma Academy when I was a freshman about 4 years ago. And I previously had sister and some brothers who went to Oklahoma Academy. And that's pretty much how my parents made the decision. They saw the spiritual growth in their lives, and they wanted that for me as well, even if it meant that I would have to leave my friends where I was. They wanted me to have a better connection with God. And yeah.
So where does your family come from?
My family comes from Rwanda in Africa.
But I mean, where were they sending you from? Did they send you from Rwanda?
No, they sent me from Georgia.
Georgia, all the way to Oklahoma. There's no academies closer to Georgia?
There are plenty of academies closer to Georgia.
Maybe you can just share to us. They chose Oklahoma Academy for all of their children because?
Because of the spiritual aspect. When we had a principal that used to work at Oklahoma Academy, and they told us about how great of a school it was when they came to work at this new school. And my parents were really excited. They sent my sister first. She graduated. Then they sent my other brother. They graduated, and they were just really excited about the entire experience. When they went to go visit Oklahoma Academy, they saw like the atmosphere around the students, around the teachers. It was just one of heaven, kind of. And they wanted that for me as well.
Yeah, I think parents now want, they will spend a huge amount of money and resources to ensure that their children have the best spiritual and academic experience. And so that's why a boarding school still attracts from all over. Okay, now I'm going to Juliet. Okay, so Juliet, share with us why you're going to Oklahoma Academy.
So my parents and Provi's parents are really close. We're actually cousins. And when he was going to be a freshman, my brother was going to be a junior. So we were moving to Texas, and my mom thought it'd be a good idea to send Jules to this academy that we've been hearing so much about from Providence's mom. And so my brother went, and he graduated from there. And my parents loved the school, and my brother had a complete 180 from who he was to the person he was when he graduated, and they wanted that spiritual change for myself. And so, yeah, right after my brother graduated, that next August, I was put into Oklahoma Academy.
You are a family with seven children.
We are. So I am the last of seven. I like to say I'm the perfect child, you know. Seven's a perfect number. But all of our siblings are grown, and they are off. One is in D.C., one is in England, and they're all doing very different things. But only my brother and I are the ones who went to Oklahoma Academy. And it seems like we're the ones that are really searching for God earnestly. And I think that has a lot to do with Oklahoma Academy.
I have heard that. I have heard that with other schools, families that said, you know, we sent our children to public school, but the last two, we decided to send them to a Christian school. And the difference in their lives is amazing. Sometimes as teachers, we don't see it so much. You know, we do see what wonderful students you are, and we certainly feel that Pygmalion effect, where we expect wonderful things from you and we see the wonderful things already and we see what you can be. We think that does have an impact, but we don't always have the ability to compare siblings within a family where some siblings went to a Christian school and some siblings didn't, and how that impacts. So that's a great thing that you brought out. Okay, going back to Providence, just tell us about some of the courses or programs that you're involved in.
Okay, well, would you like me to start from freshman year? Or?
Sure.
Okay, so freshman year, I had the opportunity to join Bell Choir. So the community of Bell Choir in itself is just wonderful, fantastic. A bunch of musicians coming together and praising God with bells. It's fantastic. And I also was able to join choir and chorale, and I was able to join numerous other things that they had around the school. And up till last year, I was in Bell Choir for all 4 years. But then we went to Cuba, and we felt the need to, like, we felt God putting on our heart to give them a Bell Choir, because all the kids at the end of the concert would see us and they would want to come and play with these magnificent instruments. And so our leader, our director, had this burning in our heart to give them a Bell Choir. And so we did, and we left them there when we came back from Cuba. We didn't have anything to play anymore, and it was kind of just this gap on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But luckily, God is still providing, and we're waiting for a new Bell Choir this next year.
So you are waiting for a new set of bells, Schumlerich.
Yes.
And 5 octaves would be great, mallets. You have tables still, or did you leave the tables too?
We have tables, yeah. We gave them another pair of tables.
Okay, so, you know, if you know of a church that has some bells, the older bells have a much better sound than the newer bells, so we're not opposed to an old set of bells. Schumlerich has a better sound, according to my opinion, than Malmark, but
yeah.
Malmark is good too. And there you have it, OklahomaAcademy.org. You can just go there and contact somebody and give them money for the bells, or give them a set of bells. I mean, this is really a sad scenario, but yet we know God is going to provide.
Amen, yeah.
Well, that is a great that's a great testimony to what this school is doing for you, and the love that obviously the faculty have for you, and the outreach that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we are coming to the end of our first half of the show, but I wondered if you could just share a little bit what else you did in Cuba.
Well, Juliet and I were both speakers. We had 6 different cities that we went to, and 6 different speakers, 6 different health talks. We had health expos, and really it was just a mission of sacrifice, showing them what Christ has done in our lives. Many of us speakers have testimonies. Many of the children's leaders have testimonies. It was magnificent.
Well, thank you for being with us. I have only one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.